call the May 18th, 2021 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
It is 7:04. Commissioner Borman?
Yes.
Commissioner London?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdog?
Here.
Commissioner President Brooks?
Yes.
Kobe. He's on there. Kobe.
Oh.
You just spell it Kobe like I've got COVID. Like C O V.
You did that on purpose. Commissioner Kobe?
Yes.
Kobe's always the name. Now you won't get it wrong.
I prefer surprises.
All right.
Okay. Items A and B are routine recommended motion. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from consent agenda items?
No.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
Last one.
No, I love
it. Just someone second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Borman?
Yes.
Commissioner Kolb?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner
London?
Yes.
Commissioner
Underdog?
Yes.
President
Brooks?
Yes.
Motion passes. It is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, please limit the comments to 3 minutes per person. We will also have Lisa read comments, but Andre.
Can I take this off?
Yes, you can.
Andre Lerman.
Thank you. Andre Lerman, 244 Hazel, Glencoe, to the board. I'd first like to extend congratulations to the newly elected and returning. Board members who are taking their oath of office either tonight or next month. Congratulations to all three of you on your accomplishment. As a resident of the Park District, I truly appreciate your interest and dedication to the board and to volunteering to serve the community. I look forward to your contributions. To departing Commissioner Lutton, Josh, with whom I've had the privilege of serving under his direction as chair of the Lakefront Advisory Board for 4 years. Josh, you've served the community and the Park District with distinction. Thank you for your 4 years of service, for your leadership, for your gravitas, and for your advocacy for the Glencoe Beach, which I believe is one of our community's crown jewels. Thank you, Josh. And I'd also like to take a minute or so to talk about departing Commissioner Dudley Underdog, with whom I served 2 overlapping years on the board. Dudley, you have had an impact on this board and the district in your time as commissioner. You served as vice president my last year of office, then became president, and also was treasurer. That's a trifecta. In my experience, your gravitas, your thoughtfulness, careful consideration of every issue was for me a model on how public officials should approach their responsibilities on these boards. In addition, you always added a needed dose of critical thinking, especially when the board was facing tough decisions or sorting through various options. Thinking fast, not thinking fast, thinking slow. Thinking slow. I had the opportunity to discuss with others your candidacy 2 years ago when you were up for this term that you're just now finishing, this 2-year term, and then this past year to discuss your candidacy for village trustee. And people would ask me, they would say, what is it like to serve on the board with Dudley? And I would say, Dudley chose his words very carefully. And when Dudley spoke, people listened. When Dudley spoke, people listened. So Dudley, I think the Park District and the Park Board are in a better place because of your service. And I'm looking forward to your continuing service as an incoming village trustee. And I believe there's an opportunity to strengthen the relationships between elected officials on the Park Board and the Village Board. And you are in a unique position to do just that. And I think if you can do that, I think a stronger working relationship between the elected officials on the Park Board and the Village Board is going to lead to concrete benefits for the entire community of Glencoe. So congratulations, Dudley, on completing your two terms, your 6 years of service, and I look forward to the next chapter in your community service. Thank you, Dudley. And with that, Madam Speaker, I yield the rest of my time.
Lisa, I do have one. We members of the public that came via email from Michael Glass. And says, hi, Lisa. I was hoping you would get a chance to share this letter with the park board tonight. First, an admission. I have become a pickleball addict. This game is growing at an incredible pace, and people everywhere are loving it. I've been playing in Glenview, at Lake Park, 6 courts, packed, and people waiting almost every day. Same for Northfield and Middlefork. 24 people, as this is almost exclusively a doubles game. Behind both of those courts are tennis courts, which are seldom used. I drove around to all the Glencoe courts on Sunday. It was the nicest day of the year. I took some photos and pictures of the mostly empty courts and noticed some signs that mentioned a resurfacing is imminent. I can share them at a later date. This is a perfect time to convert some of the courts to dedicated pickleball courts. I know there are some lines at Watch Park and portable nets there. It's not the same, and the nets are saggy and not proper heights. I'm pretty sure every tennis court is large enough for 3 pickleball courts. It's time to convert some courts to pickleball with proper nets and lines. I'm 100% certain they will pack every night in no time. Let's do this. Thank you, Michael Glass.
Thank you. I have two emails that are very, very short. Two emails that I received relatively recently that I thought I would share during this time. I did get permission from one, never got a hold of the other one, but I'll just use first names for that. I do get emails, often get emails that are typically more in the line of a complaint or a concern, but every now and then I get an email that, you know, compliments us on something, which is a big deal because that's not what usually gives people the energy to write an email. It's usually if they have something they want to question. So these are two complimentary emails and relate to the commissioners who are going to be exiting as it happens during their time. Hi, Lisa. We want to congratulate you on the way Duke Park and the Linear Park are turning out. The playground looks extraordinary, and in spite of our initial concerns, the path from Naples Park is attractive and adds a new dimension to the parkway. Thanks for all your hard work making this a reality. He makes 3 of his grandchildren. Can't wait for the playground to open. Give our best to Danny, please. These are people who know us. They're not close friends, but they know us socially and so forth. And they actually had attended one of the initial meetings when we had residents come in expressing concern about the project. So what I love about this is that it turned around once they saw the project in place, as we knew it would or hoped it would. So that was, you know, very nice to see. And the second one, very brief, my thanks and congratulations to you, your fellow board members and the staff on the outstanding renovation of our parks and playgrounds. Gene and I, our kids and grandkids are all deeply impressed. So very nice to hear after an active 3 years with Josh and Dudley. Okay, so still no Brandon, but I think...
Oh, Brandon's here.
Oh, yeah.
He's hiding behind me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be honest, I thought he was like a student.
I appreciate that.
I guess we've never met in person.
Okay.
It's a hard year. Some people get younger. I know.
Okay. Now we will move on to recognition of and comments from retiring commissioners. I am going to now acknowledge and recognize audience members in this order.
If they haven't spoken.
Okay. First, to speak, if you have anything you'd like to say, former commissioners, Andre did speak. And next week, if there's no other former commissioner who would like to speak, we'll move on to current commissioners, if any of our current commissioners would like to speak. Stephanie, would you like to turn?
I just want to thank both of you, and I enjoyed serving with both of you for different reasons. And, you know, Josh, you always had really, like, thorough, well-thought-out things to contribute, and your passion for the beach, I think, really helped, you know, frame some of that. And Dudley, your passion for sustainability and other things really, you know, you added to the board. But both of you are just a pleasure to serve with. And even though we all didn't always vote the same, everyone was respected everyone's opinion and took the time to hear everybody out and make their decisions. So appreciate that.
Okay, I'm further down in the agenda, so I will speak later. Is there anyone from the Glencoe caucus who would like to speak?
Am I not speaking?
Oh, I didn't. You didn't. You seemed to.
Oh, I thought I don't know if you were going or if I was going.
Oh, no. Please.
You're also going.
I'm in the actual. Yes, go ahead, Michael.
You're okay. You guys have done such great things in the community. I echo exactly what Stephanie has said. You forced me to think a little bit differently at times. Think about things that I'm not as passionate about as you are, both. As I've talked to both Lisas before, I think one of the best things about this board is everyone has a little bit of a different focus area that's a passion point for you. Sustainability, quite frankly, I never thought too much about sustainability. And now I think about it all the time. And so, WWBD. So I think about that all the time. And Josh, I think you always bring a very interesting perspective. I think more times than not, we come to the same conclusion by very different paths. And you force me to think differently. And sometimes I think, what would Josh think? So I just want to say, as the newest member of the board for a little bit, that I'm really appreciative of having you guys here to help guide me and help me think about different things, because it's very important to have a well-rounded board.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, does anyone in the audience wish to speak or comment?
That'd be nice. Your audience.
We're not an audience. I would just like to thank thank both you, Josh and Dudley, for your service and being so supportive of staff. You both were very helpful from a financial perspective. Josh, I remember you coming on the board and you had ideas on what our master plan was going to look like, our 3 to 5 year plan, and really, I think, set the tone for our district and how we reviewed that and viewed it. And was very helpful to me in that process. And Dudley is serving as treasurer as well. I know both myself and Liz in the business office, we really have appreciated that from you as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, it's been a pleasure working with both of you. I will say from a staff's point of view, you always pushed us. You always pushed us to think differently, gave a different spin on things, challenged us. And I have to say, I really respect that. And thank you for your service.
Wow, that is a hard act to follow. Right?
You know, I was just going to say thank
Chris, you. We're still your boss. Right?
I want to echo what Bobby and Carol said. I mean, the support of the staff, you know, in the last year in particular, there's been a lot of really hard choices that were made by this group that could have had a really significant impact on a lot of lives of the people that I work with every day. And it was really great to know that the board was behind the staff and trusted us and, you know, helped the district and the community steward themselves through an unprecedented challenge. So thank you guys for all the work and thought that you put into that and for believing in the team that we have assembled here.
Thank you.
Now,
can
I say a few words?
For Josh. Oh, yes, but I'll, if you don't mind,
can I go first? Before you go?
Now that.
I just want to talk about whatever. My name wasn't on the list. I was like, oh my gosh.
No. Yes, of course.
I just want to thank both of you also. You know, I remember doing the board training with both of you where I gave you the big binders and all those books that Josh are, is so nice and recycling.
I like that.
I remember telling you or talking to you about the role of a board member and that a good board member watches from the balcony and lets staff be on the dance floor. And you guys did a great job at that. You made high-level decisions, had high-level discussions, and then you let us take your lead and implement all those ideas and exchanges. It's really difficult when you have board members trying to tell you that maybe you should cut this piece of grass or this piece of grass, and you're down to microscopic. So you've done a really, really great job of that. You're excellent board members, really saw big pictures, and we accomplished so many great things. And I think about Connect Lenco, and I know that when Josh came on, he was a big proponent of trails. And I think this trail, while staff was like, oh, we're going to put new infrastructure in, you guys said, no, we need to put this trail in. This is something that will connect the whole community together. And go find the money for it. And luckily, we did find the money for it. But when you look at that trail and how many people use it, and what a great amenity that will be for hundreds of years, kudos to you. And not to mention all the parks and playgrounds and other infrastructure improvements we've made. So thank you for giving your time away from your family to serve. So we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Lisa. Anyone else would like to speak? Okay. So this is the point where I am going to make some comments. So I'll share some personal thoughts. I wrote some.
You'll have a chance. And you will.
No, this is not for me to speak. It's me to talk about Josh.
And, oh, specific, yes, thank you.
I have something for everybody,
right.
And then I have some specifics for Josh.
Yes.
I just want to thank Josh for his work with Lakefront Park and the boating community. He was really our liaison for that area and really opened up my eyes to that area. His work with the nonprofit, Friends of the Green Bay Trail, was important, and that sort of provided the template or beginning of the idea to connect Glencoe, connect the Green Bay Trail, and that is a wonderful, wonderful asset for the community. Josh also helped us look at policies. I appreciated his analytical approach. And at our last meeting, I almost fell out of my chair when he was arguing for a sustainability item of not building something because it would disturb the environment. Do you remember that? The trail?
Yeah.
You got a convert.
Aww.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dudley. Very nice.
I guess if I may.
Yes, please.
Madam President, since Dudley did that, I wanted to thank Dudley especially for your long-term public service to the community. You've been a role model for me and I'm sure others. And we talked a lot about Connect Glencoe. But Dudley, you're doing that in a different sense now. You're going on to Connect Glencoe by serving on the village board. And I really think that's going to be a powerful connection for the community to have somebody that knows the ins and outs of both large, well, Not that there's only two, but two of our large government bodies. So thank you for being willing to take your time to do that.
Yes, thank you, Josh. Okay, I'll just try to do this quickly. I'm going to share some personal thoughts about our retiring commissioners, Josh Levin and Dudley Underdog. It has been an absolute pleasure to serve with them, a sentiment that has been shared tonight by my fellow commissioners. Although it sounds cliche, it is true to say their unique skills and perspectives contributed to what I would consider to be an especially interesting, dynamic, and very effective board. Josh, like the month of March, you came in a bit like a lion and out like a lamb. As we've heard, my fellow commissioners agree that his contributions to our discussions have been especially insightful, often summarizing exactly what I was thinking, but in a succinct and very definitive way. In terms of policy and analysis, Josh often predicted what I was thinking, and I came to realize how often I agreed with his position on matters before us. The most memorable contribution, in my opinion, came during the discussion, it was one of many, July 4th fireworks, where we had decided we were going to survey the community, and then we were going to collect this data and then analyze it. And we had two commissioners speak, one who analyzed it one way, one who analyzed it another way. Stephanie said, listen, we've done this, they've spoken, we really should do what the majority prefer. I then agreed with her, even though I liked the other decision, which I don't remember what it was now. Then Josh spoke. And I thought, I wasn't sure what you were going to say, but you said something that's resonated with me and is really helping me with a lot of things that happen on this board. You said, the thing is, we know more than them. They've been asked a one sentence question and they've answered it. But we have all of this other information that we use to weigh in on our decisions, and based on that, I would say I will vote against it in the other way. That's right, we know more than we have more information. We have more history and so forth, and it was almost like, you know, permission to acknowledge what our position is and what our duty is. And so thank you so much. I absolutely love that. And I will certainly miss your participation and hope to work with you again sometime in the future. Dudley and I began our little journey 6 years ago, and in that time, I think it's fair to say we formed a true friendship, sharing all the laughs that come with serving on a small town public board. He has an absolutely fabulous sense of humor and has provided me with a rational perspective on our shared circumstance. During our between meeting coffees or with the articles he's forwarded, Dudley often puts a theoretical or pedagogical frame around issues and practices. A favorite recollection is the effort he undertook to salvage the breakwater sculpture. Now it's a key element in the Connect Glenville Path. Who could have predicted that? Right. It was destined for the junkyard, but Dudley understood that it was a piece of art, it had value, and he did quite a lot of work delving into its history, in its provenance, trying to figure out who might take this on if we were to get rid of it. Eventually brokering a solution that engaged the artist to restore the sculpture so that it could stay here in Glenville where it belongs. Dudley has proven to be a wise, thoughtful, very well-prepared champion of sustainability and all-around kind contributor to the board, and the community is better because of it. I will finish by sharing one of my favorite Dudley phrases, intuitively obvious to the casual observer. And another that applies so well to our departing members and also to, I think, the staff, the revolution of rising expectations. Josh and Dudley, our expectations for the board have risen due to your participation, and we wish you both very well in all that you do. Thank you. So now we will move to recognition gifts.
Yes.
I have something I do want to share though, because I really have a passion for the Park District. I've served with the Glencoe Park District as a commissioner, president, vice president, and treasurer over 6 years, and it's been a great experience. I've had the good fortune to join the district after a large bond issue passed and a new professional executive director was hired. Great timing. While I worked as an advisor to local government for over 40 years, I have not worked with a park district. In most cities, park and recreation takes a back seat to other city priorities. Not in Glencoe, with an independent board and independent funding. The district can focus on service delivery rather than competing with other city departments for resources. Glencoe residents pay a little more for our park and recreation services than most other communities, but we get a lot for our money. Our district is truly one of the best in the nation due to citizen support, a great staff, and an engaged board. By using a planning approach, we've made lasting physical improvements, large and small, all over the village. Our facilities, parks, and lakefront have never looked better. We also implemented program improvements to support residents and visitors from infants to adults. Our response to COVID-19 was exemplary and copied by other districts. I've learned a lot about park and recreation during my tenure. When I started, I never heard of pickleball. I also learned about the value of the park board by listening to our citizens, staff, and experts to guide our vision while operating in the world of the possible. We can't do everything we want, but we can do a lot if we plan projects over time. I also learned the importance of being flexible to take advantage of large donations, state grants, or special opportunities such as Blue Cottage. I've had the chance to work with some great commissioners, staff, consultants, and citizens. While we do not always agree, we all care deeply about the community and are committed to making Glencoe a truly special place. Thank you all. For the future, I expect there'll be more demands for transparency, communication, sustainability, and fiscal stewardship. It's a tall order. As I move to the village board, we'll have new opportunities to work together. I hope you will join me in building an active, caring, informed, and welcoming community. And don't forget to play.
Well, Dudley, you've kind of made me look bad by preparing a speech. With that expectation lowering phrase out of the way, I am, Dudley, I'm surprised that you fell out of your chair when I said in one of our recent meetings that we should not build something because of sustainability, because I distinctly remember discussing that very topic with the caucus in my interview. That one of the things that I felt the community, so I have been sort of our closet sustainability guy behind the scenes for you. One of the things that I think is a risk for a community like Glencoe that's blessed with a lot of resources is that we may feel compelled to build things because we can, not because we should. And that has both a sustainability angle and here's another phrase that I think we, several of us enjoy, should keep in mind. Today's CapEx is tomorrow's OpEx. Thank you for being the loud voice for sustainability in our midst. To the staff, I really couldn't have imagined that I would be involved with such a group of high-level professionals. You made it really easy to sit in the balcony, so thank you for that. Chris, every time you wonder, should I do something at the beach or should I do something at Everly Wildflower Sanctuary, you know what the answer is.
Unless it's to build something.
To my other fellow board members, it's almost a cliche to say we have different perspectives, but one of the things that I've really come to appreciate is how each of us, because have our own interests or we're at different stages in our lives, have naturally different things that we're focused on. Stephanie, you just had a passion for learning the details of the early childhood education aspects of the Park District that were beyond me how you had the energy for that, but I was grateful. And Michael, you bring a similar perspective, but perhaps from somebody with boys. So thank you for that. It's been a very rewarding experience, all of you. I'm really pleased that I did it. Brandon, you'll really enjoy it. Don't be strangers.
I agree.
Thank you. Very nice. Thank you so much. Okay.
Do you want me to give the gifts first, or do you want to read the resolutions?
Well, I'll just start reading.
Okay.
I wanted to hand out the gifts. Okay. Let's do that. So we'll start with Commissioner Dudley DeVelle. This is going on. Here we go. Whereas. This is a resolution honoring the Commissioner's service of Dudley Underdown. Whereas Dudley Underdown has given exemplary voluntary service as a Park Commissioner from May 2015 to May 2021. Whereas in realization of his commitment of time, energy, and expertise to the betterment of services and facilities of the district, and Whereas during his tenure, he served as president, vice president, treasurer, special projects and facilities committee chair, chair of the finance committee of the whole park district, liaison to the Glenbrook Plan Commission, sustainability committee, and member of the Lakefront Advisory Group. Whereas, as an avid cyclist and environmentalist, Dudley championed trail development, sustainability, fiscal responsibility, and restoration of the breakwater sculpture. Whereas his contribution to the redevelopment of Astor Park, Vernon Playground, Old Elm Home Playground, Woodlawn Park, Early Childhood Playground, and Duke Park provided an endless amount of joy and memories for the residents of Glencoe. Whereas his contribution to the addition of amenities to the district, including Glencoe Fitness Center, Recreation Take a Center, and Connect Glencoe, provided recreational opportunities for generations to come. Whereas his support during the COVID-19 pandemic, where he provided sound advice and recommendations as the district navigated the public health crisis and changing state guidelines. Whereas during his tenure, the Glencoe Park District earned the Illinois Distinguished Accredited Agency Award in 2019 and National Gold Medal Award for Excellence in Park and Recreation Management in 2019. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners, representing all the residents of the Park District, recognize the meritorious service of Dudley Underdonk and record it in the permanent record of the Glencoe Park District for all to see. This resolution shall be in full force and in effect immediately upon its passage, adopted this 18th day of May 2021.
Some of you will recognize this.
Right. My hand.
So I could then read the other one. Here we go. Okay. Here we go. A resolution honoring the commissioner service of Josh Lutton. Whereas Josh Lutton has given exemplary voluntary service as park commissioner from May 16, 2017 to May 18, 2021. Whereas in realization of his commitment of time, energy, and expertise to the betterment of services and facilities of the district, and whereas during his tenure he served as treasurer, chair of the Personnel and Policy Committee, chair of the Finance Committee of the whole, and chair of the Lakefront Advisory Group. Whereas as an avid runner, sailor, and environmentalist, Josh championed preservation of natural spaces, adding safe routes for walkers, runners, bikers through Connect Glencoe, removed invasive species on the Green Bay Trail, and integrated sustainable elements to all special projects. Whereas his contribution to the redevelopment of Astor Park, Vernon Playground, Old Elm Playground, Woodlawn Park, Early Childhood Playground, and Duke Park provided an endless amount of joy and memories for the residents of Glencoe. Whereas his contribution to the addition of amenities to the district, including Glencoe Fitness Center, renovations to take, etc., and Connect Glencoe, provided recreational opportunities for generations to come. Whereas his support during the COVID-19 pandemic, where he provided sound advice and recommendations as the district navigated the public health crisis and changing state guidelines. Whereas during his tenure, the Glencoe Park District earned the Illinois Distinguished Accredited Agency Award in 2019 and the National Gold Medal Award for Excellence in Park and Recreation Management in 2019. Now, therefore, be it resolved, I'm going to have you help me. Would you read a little bit? Right here, starting there, but Glencoe.
The Glencoe Park District Board of Commissioners, representing all the residents of the Park District, recognize the meritorious service of Josh, recorded in the permanent reports of the Glencoe Park District for all to see. This resolution shall be in full force and effect immediately upon its passage.
Adopted this 18th day of May 2020.
You can open those if you want.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I really enjoyed that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, look at that.
That is beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
Who is the artist?
My daughter.
She does this as a side gig.
That's cool.
Oh, my gosh, look at this. And you can,
It's the one where, and the previous show where those benches are sitting.
They are large.
Across from the train station.
Across from the train
station. Steel beams?
Yeah.
Oh, the steel beams.
That's very thoughtful.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your service. We appreciate it.
And I will say, it used to be a massive plaque that you would take home and not pipe home.
I like the art.
We do now.
Okay, so we will move to approval of pension service resolution number 923.
922.
Approval of commissioner service resolution number 922. Dudley on. I entertain a motion to approve Commissioner's Service Resolution Number 922 for Dudley Onderdonk as presented.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Everett?
I can vote for myself.
You can?
Yeah.
President Brooks?
Yes. And approval of Commissioner's Service Resolution Number 923, Josh Lawton. I entertain a motion to approve Commissioner's Service Resolution Number 923 for Josh Lawton as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Mr. Brooks?
Yes.
Mr. Quilby?
Yes.
Mr. I'm sorry, Onderdonk?
Yes.
Commissioner Lawton?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Motion passes. All right. Woo! Yes. Okay. We will move now to the oath of office, beginning with Commissioner Warren. Lisa Shepherd, as Board Secretary, will administer the oath of office. Stephanie and her daughters will join Lisa at the front of the board tables. Lisa will give the oath in repeatable segments.
Oh.
Sort of like
when
I'm
Lisa Shepherd.
You want me to come up here?
Yeah.
You can
see. Can you see?
No, get the mask. If you're going to take the mask off, take it all off because it looks funny there. Yeah, take the whole thing off. Much better.
Okay. All right. Ready? Now that's the hard part.
Okay. Now I have a repeat.
Ready? Having been elected to the office of Park Commissioner. Of the Glencoe Park District.
Cook County, Illinois.
Do hereby solemnly declare and affirm. That I will support the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the State of Illinois. And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties.
And then I will well and faithfully discharge the duty
of the office of Park Commissioner. To the best of my ability. Congratulations. Now we have Brandon. Brandon. We haven't seen him in person.
Best counter offer.
Whatever you want. You want to take off for a picture? Perfect. All right. Please repeat after me. I, Brandon Hinkle.
I, Brandon Hinkle.
Having been elected to the office of park commissioner.
Having been elected to the office of park commissioner.
Of the Glenville Park District.
Of the Glenville Park District.
Cook County, Illinois.
Cook County, Illinois.
Do hereby solemnly declare and affirm.
Do hereby solemnly declare and affirm.
That I support the Constitution of the United States.
That I support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties.
Of the Office of Park District Commissioner to the best of my ability.
Of the Office of Park District Commissioner to the best of my ability.
Congratulations.
Secretary will conduct the election for the board president and then vice president.
As board secretary, it is my pleasure to open nominations for president of the board. Are there any nominations?
I nominate Lisa.
Any other nominations?
That's right.
Not a call. Nominations are closed. So we have a roll call approving Lisa Brooks as park board president. So move in a second.
You got it muted somehow.
Commissioner Warren.
Yes.
Just turn your volume down.
Commissioner Brooks. Yes. Commissioner Bobby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hinkle?
Yes.
President Brooks. All right.
You can vote for yourself.
Yeah. You can vote for yourself, yes. Yeah. As board secretary, it's my pleasure to open nomination for vice president for. Are there any nominations for vice president?
I nominate Ms. Stephanie Bora.
Any other? We need a second.
Second.
Any other nominations? Hearing no further nominations, nominations for vice president are closed. Roll call a vote approving Stephanie Warren as park board vice president.
It was Stephanie and then Brandon.
What do you want me to do?
I motion to approve.
I motion to approve. Second.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Bobby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hinkle?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passed.
Congratulations to the new president, vice president of the Park District Commissioner.
Yeah. Okay, so now the new president, same as the old president. The new president will entertain a motion, and my motion is I move to appoint Michael Covey as treasurer, Robert Bush of Antel Blink as attorney and ethics officer, Lisa M. Shepherd as secretary to the board executive director. Do I nominate the representative to the plan commission even though he is not a senior?
I think we should probably wait.
I'm going to wait for that. Okay. Lisa M. Shepherd and Jennifer L. Runkle as Freedom of Information Act officers, and Lisa Brooks as representative to the Glencoe Sustainability Committee. Can I get a second?
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Warren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Colby?
Yes.
Commissioner Hinkle?
Yes.
Before motion passes, we will move to board committee appointments. I will announce the appointments as listed below. Finance Committee of the Whole Chair will be Mr. Michael Covey, and members are the remaining commissioners. Special Projects and Facilities Committee Chair, that will be Stephanie Boron.
Congratulations.
Personnel and Policy Committee Chair will be co-chaired by Michael Covey and Stephanie Boron.
All right.
Okay, very good. Members for all of the committees will be the remaining members of the board. Okay, now I will announce appointments as follows. Glencoe Beach and Lakefront Advisory Committee. The chair will announce that at our next meeting. The Watts Advisory Group will be chaired by Michael Covey. Early Childhood Advisory Group will be chaired by Stephanie Boron. And NSSRA Liaison will be Lisa Shepherd, Executive Director. Believe it or not, back to business. Financial report. 1 month of the fiscal year is complete. Carol will provide a synopsis of the reports.
Actually, we're 2 months into the fiscal year. March and April.
Yes.
And if just to take you back to what April 2020 was like, so we had the shutdown March.
Thanks, Carol.
And so April numbers were not good by any stretch of the imagination. So when we're comparing this year to 2020, keep in mind, I think we did no billing for GJK, ELC, daycare in the month of April. We had no monies taken in for camp. This year we billed both April 1 and May 1, so we're showing a lot more revenue on the side of 2021 numbers. So you can kind of see from 2019, the numbers for the recreation department are showing favorably to what we did 2 years ago before COVID. Also to point out, because the second billing for camp is May 1, we're going to show significant improvement in the month of May. Daycare, you can see, is doing a great job with their surplus with the first 2 months of the fiscal year. Beach and boating, obviously, with doing season passes only and taking that money in March versus last year it was in May, within a very short window. We're looking good and will continue to look good through the beach and boating season. Everything else is pretty much status quo. We did have, because the county gave a 2 month leeway, so typically bill tax bills for the first installment are due on March 1. They gave until May 1 to assess a penalty for people. And so people obviously utilized that. For the first 2 months, we were down about 450,000. I think I mentioned it at the last board meeting, but in early May, it's definitely picking up. So I think by the end of May, we'll be very close to what we were last year.
What percent are you sub 99?
You know what? Because it's the first installment, we collect 55%.
Sorry, are you 99% or 55%?
Now we are making up in May, yes. Yeah. So I was a little concerned about that, but you know, the tax receipts are now coming in a lot stronger in early May, so I don't have that same concern that I did last month. Things are looking good. So,
are your numbers net of refunds? So like the 1.3 million in revenue, is that
last year at this time we still did not
have refunds.
No. When we actually refund, they're taken out and put in a liability. And I know it was like $775,000 for camp that got refunded.
So this will look worse before it looks bad.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's good to know. Yeah. I will tell you, at our office, like 2020 was erased and everything is year over 2 year.
Yeah.
And everything is 2021 versus 2019.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't. It's a lost year. Yeah, definitely.
I agree.
And that's really it. Good. Any other questions for Carol? All right, then we will move to the executive director report. Lisa Shepherd will review items in her report.
Excellent. So on June 8th, we're going to have our board workshop. You know, right? Carol Sente is our guest, and I'm going to introduce her and have her come up and say a few words. So Carol Sente is going to be our facilitator for our workshop. She's a former member of the Alamo House of Representatives and a former and now, again, current board member of the Reading Hills Park District. So, Carol, thank you for coming and welcome.
Hey. I just asked Lisa, who I've known for a long time and would have great respect for, that it would be a nice board meeting to come before we get together and see, you know, the retiring members and the new member. And just say hello and have a chance to get to meet you. I've met the board president, but that was it before. And so tomorrow I'll be sending you a link because part of what we're going to be talking about will involve a behavioral profile tool. So you'll each get that. And I love it if you can get it done maybe think of it before Memorial Day weekend. It's very short. And that'll come back to me. We're not sharing that with anyone else. You'll get your own report, but that's a little piece of what we'll be doing on the 8th. And then we'll use the bulk of the time to just kind of kick off your new group of five and just talk about, and I will send the agenda in the email, but you know, how to present your points effectively, but sometimes you don't naturally, everyone isn't always, it's not always 5 to 5, right? And just how to deal with some of those things effectively so you can continue to grow. You guys have something a little different than we have in Vernon Hills where, you know, you have more turnover. We don't have any term limits. And so that sets up some different dynamics for a group as well. So I'm looking forward to it very much and I thank you for the opportunity. And that's about it. Congratulations. It was nice to watch the dynamics tonight. So thanks for that, and just nice to meet all of you as well.
Thank you.
I don't know if you have any questions, but I just wanted to say hi and just see how the evening went.
And congratulations to Vernon Hills Park District. They are gold medal finalists this year.
We're hoping. I want one of those.
You have a very nice indoor hockey facility, I believe, in Vernon Hills. Is that right? Yes.
Except it's not the park district.
Oh, no, it's not park district.
And either are the golf courses.
Oh, we have the same thing.
We have the same thing here.
Yeah, that's what ours is.
Sometimes I'm really happy about that. So.
Wouldn't I like the idea of someone moving from the park board into the village?
Yes,
I agree. In different communities, because I used to own an architectural firm that designed park district buildings. So I have been in the park industry for a long time. That's how I got on the board. And so you watch these dynamics, and I think sometimes when someone moves from one to the other, you know, it has helped the situation, whether it hopefully is really good already.
Yeah.
When I got on my park board, our relationship with our village wasn't good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was actually terrible.
Oh, my God.
And we worked really hard to develop it, so it takes effort.
Yeah, it does.
You know. But I'm sure this will help. So.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I'll see you soon, Carol.
All right, so we have really been monitoring all the COVID-19 changes, and really one of the newest ones, and I always do laugh, if they come down at like 4 o'clock on Thursday or Friday, whenever they throw these changes at us. And the mask mandate was no different. So I just wanted to bring you up to date on what we're thinking about and get your opinions on how we should move forward with this. And really, what I really want to talk about today or tonight is indoor. We're not getting enough clarification on outdoor yet, and we're hoping that the state gives us more guidance or the CDC gives more guidance on that. So pretty much for outdoor, we're going to stick with what we're kind of doing now and kind of what we're doing recommended for indoor. So we are in a unique situation because we have a daycare, which is DCFS. So DCFS is in the order that says they have to have masks on for anybody two and older, and that includes anybody that's in that wing, parents that walk in that wing, teachers. So that one's kind of easy. That one's mandated by the state. The gray one is that participants are not mentioned anywhere in the order. And pretty much, you can figure it out yourself. It's kind of if you read between the lines, schools have mandated. We're kind of in between those. Obviously, we have a lot of children that come into our building at any given time that aren't able to get vaccinated. So that was one of the things that we kept in the back of our mind when we were thinking about what we were going to recommend going forward. We also realized that a lot of people are vaccinated that are 15 and older, or yeah, now 12-year-olds can get it, so 12 years and older. So what we're recommending is that when people enter our building and go in any of our common spaces, they have to wear a mask. Because at any given point, they can run into a child that has not been the ability to be vaccinated. Once, if they're adults, 12 or older, and are fully vaccinated, so that means if you're 12 and had vaccine last week, you're not fully vaccinated for another 5 or 6 weeks, right? 4 weeks for the next shot, and then 2 weeks after that, 3 weeks. Once they get 3 weeks for that shot, once they get into their classroom, if it's an adult program of people 15 or older, if you are vaccinated, you can take off your mask and participate in that class. If you want to wear your mask in the class, you're more than welcome to. We'll have signage that we post on the wall that's legal language from Juderma that says something like, by entering this program without a face covering, you are verifying truthfully that you have been vaccinated or have received an exemption. So the onus will be on those people, okay? So that will apply to our fitness classes, our fitness center, our ceramics, those, and then other adult programs over that age. The fitness center, we are going to still give a couple time options for people that want to wear masks. So say they're not comfortable, not fully vaccinated, because we do have some children that come with 12 and older, that come with their parents to work out. Yeah. We still want to give them the opportunity to work out. So we'll figure out masks, required slots, yeah, that they can come in and work out in that time. For all other programs, if they're 11 and under and they are in a class, they have to wear the mask and everybody associated with them has to wear a mask inside. And the only time they go outside and have to wear a mask is what the rules are now. If they're socially distanced, six feet apart, and usually that's when they're eating or things like that. But other than that, if they're playing close together, they have to wear the mask. That applies to anybody that's in that area. So that's teachers, custodians, anything like that. We'll have to do those. So we're kind of hitting all the bases. Let me see if I can put anything else. I think that was it. So that's kind of how we would like to proceed. It's really hard because we have a feeling that more regulations will come out right when we make this change and then it'll change again.
Yeah.
But we know that people are already asking what you're doing. You saw the message we sent out last week, saying we're sticking to it, so we kind of get more clarification.
Yeah.
So we thought this was a happy medium between the two. We give people, the adults who are vaccinated, the ability to go to class without, but still keep our kids and our staff safe when they're entering throughout the building. Other staff will be clarifying to them when they can wear a mask, so anybody in our common spaces, so that'd be our front desk, they will be required to still have the mask, even though they have the front. Staff in offices do not, or if they're in a room of fully vaccinated over 18, they don't have to wear the mask if they're having a meeting such as this, if they're fully vaccinated. So what are your thoughts? I'm going to throw it out there. What are your thoughts on this?
I definitely agree with everything you said.
Wow, that's good.
I mean, kids
are being recorded.
The kids,
can you make sure that's good?
The kids can't be protected. You know, they can't be protected,
right.
And they should feel, I think the community would appreciate and the parents would appreciate that they are so protected in our care. So
I agree.
And I think it's expected.
I think so too.
Yeah. And I think the other camps will be the same.
I think they will also.
Yeah.
So we'll get more clarification, but I had a feeling the schools are going in that direction, so I feel so that can happen in some camp too.
Yeah.
This you may give the same answer to the question I asked on the parks before, but the liability, what's the potential liability, like if someone, you know, were getting sick and say it's because of, you know, you guys weren't masked up, what's the risk on that?
There is no risk liability wise for us on that. Correct?
From a workers' comp perspective?
Yeah.
And all of our employees have been given the opportunity to be vaccinated. Most of them, I believe, are. We are going to actually start to request proof of vaccination for our employees for just that reason. It does protect us a little bit more from that situation.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that's how, if, you know, like I know the kids at school, they wear the stickers saying, you know, the temperature's been taken, and you know, if there's a sticker or they sign in saying, yeah, I'm vaccinated, so we don't have to wear it. But based on your answer, I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, we can't ask them to wear a sticker, but we can, we got clarification from the term that we can't ask to be, if they're vaccinated, so that way, if they're not wearing a mask, we know they should be.
Yeah.
And number two is that if we have an outbreak of COVID, if you're not vaccinated, then you have to be quarantined for 2 weeks, just like before. But if you are vaccinated, you don't have to be. So that helps us kind of figure out those dynamics also.
Yeah. I have two thoughts. One, we need to be careful that our indoor policy is not looser than our outdoor policy, because that will make us look a little foolish. Like, we can't say that, hey, look, if you're vaccinated and you're 15 and you're in an art class, you don't have to wear a mask, but, oh, we don't have a policy for outside yet, just, I'm not saying to do anything about it.
No, that's a good point, because we will follow this same one for outside.
Okay, you will.
We won't get looser outside until we get more guidance.
Well, but you're going to get looser inside.
No.
Yeah, people
vaccinated.
No, it's exactly the same.
Oh, it's exactly the same outside, but we're not going to get looser until we get more guidance.
That's fine.
And we're not going to say kids under 12 can run around without a mask.
So those policies are for both inside and outside.
Yes, yes.
That makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah.
And then, do we have, I agree with the common areas, makes complete sense. We've talked about this a lot in the past. Do we have any insight into staff that are not going to appreciate this new policy? Like, are there any teachers, I'm just picking on the pottery for just a second because there's only one I can think of as an adult one, but do we have any teachers in the pottery who are going to say, you know what, I'm out because I don't like this policy? Like, do we foresee any challenges like that?
Well, we're bringing it to our safety committee tomorrow to talk through it with staff to see if they have any reservations on this. We do know that quite a few teachers have come up and said, can we take off our masks based on, you know, like our teacher, for example, that the students wanted to. The teacher has the right to wear the mask even if all her students aren't.
Got it.
So,
But if it, I'm more concerned about, like, is there going to be a teacher that says, you know what, like, I don't trust that people are really vaccinated. I think everyone should have to wear the mask in my class.
Well, it's a possibility, but we've always followed the CDC guidelines, and we can't justify not following the CDC guidelines just because teachers are
doing it. I totally agree. I'm just thinking about it in a different perspective.
Yeah.
So, otherwise, I agree.
And do you guys get Dan? We had a great 2-hour discussion about this. So to get down to the two
sections. Did you say great?
Oh my God.
Very passionate, you know, because there's no right answer. And what do we do? Do we just make everybody wear a mask all the time? And so we had to come to a common ground. And really came down to that we have always followed the CDC guidelines and IDPH's guideline. And how can we say we've always followed that, except for now?
I think it makes sense. I think it's the right time. And I think you're going to find that Elenco is over-indexed in vaccinated people as well,
versus the total there is an article about it. Not surprisingly, just to weigh in, absolutely agree with everything. Really don't have a choice, and I was thinking as you talked about this, how many staff hours the park district has been discussing this? What is the direction, and how do we apply it?
Oh my God.
Thousands.
Oh my God. I think sometimes it's 30 hours a week. It's crazy because they change regulations sometimes weekly.
And
so
it's not going to be quite a while.
We're somewhat not lucky, but I think, you know, if Chicago didn't go with the state, it would be much tougher. But now that Chicago is kind of going with the state, it makes it a little bit more justifiable.
Yeah.
So I think everything is doing it right. And, I'm excited to go on a Peloton without a mask.
I know, it's really hard.
It's hard.
Now, I'll say this too. It's interesting from this, you know, vantage point now, this new vantage point, it's always super easy to criticize decisions. It's hard to make decisions. And I love the fact that you came with the recommendation. It's also easy to say, here's the situation. What do you guys want to do? But to come with a good recommendation, you know, I just put a lot of time into it. So
thank you.
I appreciate it.
And you're absolutely right.
Thanks.
Very easy to critique.
Yes.
Anyone serving kids for the next 6 months is in the hardest position.
We are. Yeah.
That's the problem because you don't know, everyone else, mm-hmm. it's like a blanket approach, and then anyone serving kids is.
You're exactly right. Like the village's approach is going to be totally different than ours. And, you know.
Yeah.
And I am in the North Shore Directors Group, and it seems like everybody's leaning the same way that we're
dressed. San Francisco's going to be tough because you're going to have to get vaccinated.
Yep.
Not have to get vaccinated. I will tell you, there are plenty of people in Glencoe who are anti-vaccine as well. I know we're 70%, but...
Well, for their kids.
For their kids.
No, for them as well. So I think there are people who... I know kids who don't want to get it. I know parents who aren't going to have their kids get it. I know parents aren't going to get it. And it's going to be a challenge. So we just got to march on through. I think following CDC guidance is the right way to do it.
And if there's a program, it's just, for example, this summer, our one of our camps, which is ages, it will default to the younger age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, it will always
default
to the ones who can't get
that
vaccines.
For
sure.
Great. And then what about the parks? I mean, in general, we've said, you know,
yeah.
The parks are engaged, yeah.
Yeah, like, is there going to be any kind of signage posted there?
No, I think that's just like we have before. It's really tough because don't put signage out that you can't police.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how are we supposed to police that?
Uh-huh.
So, it's clear everywhere that you should wear your mask. Kids under whatever age are not vaccinated, you should wear a mask. And it's going to be those parents' choice. And we can't police them. That's where we think there will be more guidance coming out because there, as beaches and pools and day camps open, it'll be interesting what that guidance is. And we've all seen studies that shows that outdoor transmission is very low. So as that data starts coming in, I think we'll find changes. But we are not going to police that. We're just going to say we recommend that you wear masks and do breast scan because we don't have people that can play police playgrounds and things like that. So
thank goodness.
Gun course so good. I see him riding to school every morning.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh,
they all have the mask on. They're you know.
Yeah. They are.
We laugh because kids are so much better at this mask wearing than
I think
even our two-year-old is amazing.
Summer's going to be tough because it's hot again,
it's
right?
Hot.
It's hot. Especially when you see other adults not wearing the mask.
Right.
It's going to be tough. So
and we did have that discussion at some point. We're also, our teachers have to be role models to that, you know, even if they're outside. So if you're teaching a soccer class and you're with kids, you should have a mask on just to be a role model, you know, you're vaccinated. A park ambassador who's not standing is 6 feet away in the foot of the sun every day, maybe they don't have to have a mask on. So that's stuff we'll keep on. Might ride on a chair, probably not. So
if they're vaccinated, why would a lifeguard on a chair have to?
Right, we don't think they do.
Right.
And then, but if they go into the building and they're around a younger kid, they would.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, last year we didn't have any other camp.
Yeah, right. And the mandate didn't come back until August.
We
were pretty much done.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then that second session.
So did that get it?
It
was right after camp.
Once our camp finished, yes.
So that's why we're waiting to see if there's more direction for day camp outside when they're outside.
Yeah.
So right now at schools, you can go outside and take your mask off if you're 6 feet apart. Well, we know that's not realistic in camp, so we're going to see what happens. There's going to be more direction, we hope.
Yeah.
The other thing, very excited that to announce that we've hired a new finance director. I guess it's bittersweet.
I think that.
This girl's leaving. Happy we have someone to fill.
Yeah.
Don't be so happy.
I can be cheeky.
So we're very excited about welcoming John to our team. He'll start June 7th. Can't wait for you all to meet him. He had a really great set of candidates. Political Purchase Group is definitely a place where people want to work, so we're very happy to be choosy and give the best candidate for the job. So we think he'll be a great addition to the team, and his credentials are very impressive. So Other than that, season passes for the beach, what are they at now, do you know? Or
over 6,600.
Over 6,600.
Wow.
So
great.
They continue to be a great commodity, and as the restrictions open up, more people can go down to the beach, so that'll be nice. I know, isn't that great? So
only 8,500 people in Bangkok. But I realize they're not all the
same. Yeah, there's over 2,500 that are.
Good.
Yeah, we do have more.
66% of residents.
Yeah,
vote
more non-residents this year than last year.
Oh, really?
That are buying passes, and we actually think that number will go up as people come during the weekend and can't get in. So we'll buy passes and make it a little worth it. So,
Bobby, where are the non-resident passes predominantly?
A lot of Northbrook, Glenview. There's a spread over a lot of different zip codes. Stuff I've never heard of. Yeah, it's spread over a lot.
90210.
An interesting fact is that, you know, we had senior passes for free.
Yes, yeah.
And the result of that is they're buying a lot of guest passes for their
grandkids.
Family.
Oh, yeah. Any complaints on that at all?
Well, they love
it. No, they love it.
All of it.
So I think we actually had more people get, the seniors get passes because it was free.
Yeah.
And now we're buying all these guest passes for our family. It's
that's great.
With our PR-wise and for the
rest of
the
Right. We're going to lose a lot of new households that we have, so we're going to be able to reach out to those households and get them hopefully involved in another district.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They walk into the building, they see any signage, they may pick up a catalog, they see the fitness center.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
So whole new market, so we're thrilled with that. Chris has been extremely busy in the parks, obviously the last couple of weeks, so do you want to give him an update on the projects right now?
It's been a very exciting spring. We wrapped up construction on the South Overlook last week, so that's all ready to go for the beach season. We're looking to have a carpenter on site down on North Beach for the staircase next week, so it's proceeding along. You know, we've hit a couple of snags here and there. There's always some surprising stuff in the ground, especially when you're dealing with 100-and-some-year-old community. So we did find some extra pipes that were down there that we had to make some changes to accommodate, but nothing that our contingency wouldn't absorb. Project's moving ahead of clock. We've got the drainage in, staff doing restoration on the turf. We're plowing ahead to make sure that we have some great grass there for July 4th. The trail itself, we're still working on the punch list. We're very lucky to have IDOT as our big stick with this contractor, so we're holding them to task. Right now, they're actually being held up on about $250,000 payout on a $2,000 item. So IDOT is like the biggest bully on the block when it comes to holding contractors accountable. So it's been great to have their support on this project and through the federal funding that we got for the project. So all in all, projects are moving ahead very nice. So any questions?
Anything?
Trail looks great.
Thank you.
Everything looks great. The overlook, the walk,
yeah.
It's looking great. And
yeah.
The walk, I was very surprised that there wasn't as much, you know, I got turf
right.
No, they when they went and put the pipes in, I was very impressed with that.
They did a great job in not tearing up the whole park.
Yeah.
So it was their approach was what allowed them to have a really aggressive bid. So they just really trenched in the new lines and filled them in, and then we did the restoration in-house to save ourselves some money. So.
Good.
When's that done?
What's that?
When is Hawk going
to
be?
We're targeting having the meadow area completed for the 4th of July. The other areas, like the lighting and the plaza, maybe a little bit before that, a little bit after that, depending.
Are we like good planning sort of rededication of Hawk Park or anything to kind of celebrate the fact that we can use this again?
Well, we could. Maybe we'll make it one. We have a lot of special events.
Yeah.
Like our returning special events, I should say, like kids concert series or something like that. We could always some concerts out there.
There's in a concert.
We could figure it out. Something in there.
I like the idea of letting people know why we did this to Hawk Park. Mm-hmm. Like a little bit of like, hey, look, you can, and maybe hopefully Stephanie likes this idea too. You know, like we want people to rent it out and to have their wedding there, have their facility there. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we ended up doing this, so that people could use Cop Park after rates. So
that's a great idea. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking about dedications, we are dedicating to on Saturday of Memorial Day.
29th at 10 o'clock.
So we're not doing a big media blitz about it because we're trying to keep the numbers down, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So it's really we're inviting all the family, preserving family. and we're going to be looking maybe for some volunteers to start out the train and things like that. So we're excited to preview that. The train will open that weekday, and the spray ground will open that day, and it'll be it's great that Bree's finished that.
Saturday the 29th?
Saturday at 10 o'clock.
Do we know when, we're going to lock the train up at night. Do you have a time you're going to do that?
We actually decided not to lock it up right now. We're going to try it without locking it up. We get GPS trackers on them.
Okay.
So Chris's idea is, as long as no one steals it and runs them down the road, we're going to see if we can keep it without locking them up at night. So
Are there lights on that?
No, there's
one light on the barn. I will tell you, when you see the train cars, they're not like the kind of thing that you pick up and run off with.
Yeah.
They got some weight to them. Right. So, you know, we're going to evaluate that as we go with Elisa's point. We're going to know right where they are all the time. So we'll be able to set up a GPS locator on the park, and any time they leave the park, we'll get a note. It's technology that they use on job site equipment. So like if someone steals your generator on your construction site, you know where it is, and you call the police, and they go and get your generator. So we're going to use that tech on our It's actually like $50 a year. It's unbelievably inexpensive for what it is.
Whereas that's way cheaper than having a
father.
Yeah. So we decided that we're gonna do that at first, and so that way we get extended use. Otherwise, like on Saturday, staff leaves at 4, they'd have to be locked up. So we're gonna try this, and with the new GPS technology, we think we can make it work. So
that's great. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah.
In addition, we're also doing the Memorial Day celebration as normal. We always participate in that. But this year, Lisa's going to speak a little bit about the renovation of the Veterans Plaza. So it's that ADA accessible.
That's a busy weekend for you.
And the program is intense.
Well, it looks like a lot, but it's like 20 minutes probably. That's what Phil told me today when I thought.
Phil's 20
minutes. So, I'm very
fast. Just to give you a little heads up, there's a little hiccup with AYSO. And we discovered through routine inspections that the goals weren't being locked up according to Zach's law. So we spoke to AYSO. They're responsible as their independent as a affiliate. It's in their agreement. So we had a little conversation with them and went over all the requirements of the law to make sure they are being locked up and secured properly. And in addition, we are going to have our guys inspect it weekly when they do the mowing and stuff, just to make sure they're adhering to that policies, you know. So there's also a neighbor that's concerned about the practice net along the road.
The west side.
What road is that?
The opposite side of the Grove.
So they have nets that are closer to the, like, practice nets are kept by the street side, and then they have nets that are kept between the school and the two soccer fields.
Yeah.
Just for ease of movement. We have a resident concerned the kids are climbing the nets. Mm-hmm. Those goals are secured properly. They're meeting everything with the law. His concern is that kids are climbing the net. And so we're bringing it to the safety committee, because whether they're climbing the nets there or they're climbing the nets on the side, we feel it may be the parents' responsibility to watch their children during that thing. So the safety committee can review that and see if they think they can move it. A lot more labor intensive to have them drag all the way out each time. So we're going to see if they feel it's a safety issue. So we'll bring that back to the safety committee. So let's give you an update on that. Other than that, I don't think I have anything else unless you have any questions.
Berlin looks awesome, and the lights at Taken are great. So thanks, guys, for doing
that. Very nice job. Kudos for our staff and Bobby's and his team, the summer training. If you look in your packet, very extensive. In the world of COVID, it's very hard to get this accomplished. So they're doing that. I know there's a group doing first aid tonight, in fact. So we take very seriously our job training on young adults for our positions in our district. So. That training has already started. So
it's a huge benefit to what you'd like to give.
really good job.
You do.
Really good. Yeah. Did you have any difficulty in hiring?
Hiring, yeah, I was going to ask that.
This year?
Yeah.
We were really lucky this year. We're short one or two positions, but I'm getting calls daily from other districts begging for staff, and we're 99% there. We had a really good year.
Right.
Not going to change it, but yeah.
Great.
With the Park Ambassadors, is it going to be the same as last year where they kind of move around in different areas depending on they'll be at the beach, maybe they'll be at, like,
Duke Park? Yeah, very good question. Yeah, we decided to bring that back this year, and maybe a permanent thing that we're bringing, because we found such value to it. So they'll start out at the beach, and then they'll roll from tennis courts to programs in session to soccer fields. So they'll check on other programs also. So maybe the rec supervisor doesn't have to work every Saturday and check in on those programs. His park ambassador will help with that. And then go back to the beach. So they'll be all around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're going to do it some days a week at first, and then we may scale it down to just weekends, Fridays and weekends, as we find the week. Good question.
Interesting. Yet another thing we learned from COVID.
Yeah, it's been helpful. Yeah.
Interesting. Forced it and not. There's so many things you do. COVID forced us to do that turned out
to be a good thing, right?
A good thing that we probably would not have done otherwise.
Yeah.
Just like pushed us.
Exactly.
So it's very interesting. Thank you, Lisa. Is that it?
That's all I have. Any questions? Any other questions for me and my team?
I had one question. I don't know if it was addressed in here. How is the, it's kind of off of you, Erin, how is your software coming along?
It's going to be a busy fall.
Like all things are on track?
Mm-hmm. A lot
we're
of work.
We're still going to test that out when you...
Oh, you're going to be volunteering, right?
Yes. My wife will be your number one volunteer on that one.
That probably won't happen until later in the fall.
Yeah, I just wanted to, like, the consultant is hired and all that good stuff is working its way through. Okay, good. We're going to get that done.
Oh, we know.
All right.
Okay, well, then... I have a recommended motion. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner
Bourne?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Kobe?
Yes.
Commissioner Weasel?
Yes.
All right.
Motion passes.
Nice.
Thank you.
8:37. Thank you all.
What do we do with